Now we turn to God's Word again tonight. Again, we turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And in this chapter, again, we want to start reading from verse 19, reading through the end of that chapter. Same passage we had last week, Sunday night. Luke 16, starting in verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he's comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not come also to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Our text coming from that last verse. He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." If you have a love for science, even a tiny love, you can go out and buy a telescope. Park that telescope in your backyard and look at the heavens at night. The beauty that can be seen if your eye is trained on it. To look at the surface of the moon, the craters, the mountains, the valleys, the open fields of the moon, lifeless, dry, dusty. But what can be seen from that planet Earth looking on the surface of the moon? If you train your telescope to the stars, the galaxies, the billions and billions and billions of stars out there, what beauty, what indescribable beauty can be seen out there. But still, you're only seeing created territory of what God has made, visible to the human eye. If, on the other hand, you had a telescope that could see into heaven, have you ever wished for that? That God would give you a spiritual telescope and allow you to see all the way into heaven so that you could see the pearly gates so you could see through the pearly gates, so you could see the great white throne, so you could see the house of many mansions, so that you could see the saints walking on the streets of gold or singing in the heavenly choir loft. Would you ever want to turn a telescope and look in the opposite direction? Science has put in orbit this thing called the Hubble telescope. And about all you can see with it, why the scientists can direct the cameras and the mirrors of the telescope, and they can see the whole span of the northern half of the universe. Light years to light years in distance. And when that Hubble is in a different part of its orbit, they can turn it in the opposite direction, and they can see the southern half of the universe, light years by light years in distance. But tonight, in Luke chapter 16, the Lord gives you, as it were, a spiritual telescope to see territory you would never, never see anywhere else. He allows you here to see by His special spiritual telescope, Luke chapter 16, all the way into heaven. But not like the Hubble, does He let you see the whole? Instead, it's as were, as if it were, He trains His whole telescope all the way up, and all you can see is one little spot, one little peek hole into heaven. And what do you see there but Father Abraham and Lazarus the beggar? But God not wanting you ever to be in the dark, in this same passage of Scripture, turns the telescope of His spiritual insight and absolutely the opposite direction, and you can see all the way, not the whole southern hemisphere, but all the way down into a little lonely spot way down in the pit of the burning flames of hell. And if all of that's not enough, God turns the microphone on. And you can hear a conversation between Abraham in heaven and the rich man in hell. And what a conversation it is. Who would dare say this? Except the Christ who knew it. And here in this conversation, you see a man who had had life so good on planet Earth in the flames of hell. And out of his mouth come three requests in quick succession. The first one is that Lazarus, this man who sat at his gate, this man who laid there and suffered and had the dogs visit, this man who might recognize his face, that this man, Lazarus, would be sent from heaven to hell to take his finger, drop it in some water, and give this man one drop of water on his tongue. Father Abraham says, out of the question. Nobody can go from here to there, there to here. The man quickly responds, well, if you won't send him to hell, then at least send him back to earth, because I've got five brothers, and these five brothers, they have Moses and the prophets. And the rich man is quick on an uptake.
Oh, but if they had a miracle like someone rising from the dead, then they would be converted. Then they would be saved. Then they would turn around. And Father Abraham says, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. What's underneath that? What's underneath that is something you see in your world all around you. It is the nature of unbelief. The nature of unbelief is such that people can have miracles right in front of them and refuse to admit it. The nature of unbelief is such that they can have the Word of God right in front of them and fail to read it and not even care to pick it up. The nature of unbelief is such that locked in spiritual blindness, human beings can lock out all testimony to God, not wanting His consciousness to penetrate their consciousness. Only two parts here in the text tonight. First, the witness of God's Word. And second, the witness of miracles. What do you make of the witness of God's Word? Is it adequate? How come we've got so many Bibles in America and so many people are not converted? 300 million people in America plus. How many Bibles do you think there are in America? I counted the ones on my shelf. I know I got over 30. So people downplay the Word of God. So the Bible says, but people downplay the Word of God. The Bible says this, the Bible says that, but people downplay the Word of God. What do you think? Luke chapter 16 is there, and people downplay the Word of God in Luke chapter 16. Then how do you respond to the Word of man? Well, people downplay the Word of man too. Witness. Monday, November 23rd, 1998. A young Christian, married about 1 year, by the name of Bill Weiss, maybe pronounced the name Weissy, was sleeping in his bed, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, he had a dream. No, he had a vision. No, he had something worse than that. As he talks about it, he dreamt, he envisioned, he was plunging into hell. Outside of his body, he felt himself falling, 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 falling until he's in this stone pit. And as he sensed the atmosphere around that stone pit, there's bars in front of the pit, and the heat is just blasting through those bars, and he's just so extremely parched. It is so hot in there, and it's so hideous in there. He dreams that he could have one drop of water on his tongue. And while he's hearing sounds of screams and odors and stench coming through the bars, he's also aware momentarily of this huge demon on the one side, and another huge monster of a demon on the other side. In fact, he wrote about the experience. 23 minutes in hell. I don't know if we got the book in our church library. Any of you read the book? One. That surprised me. I thought there would have been more. He wrote a whole chapter in a pit. The whole book is laced and interlaced with scriptural references. Then he wrote a whole chapter on what he saw beyond the cell as God let him out of the cell and let him see this whole lake of fire. He said, humongous, like a huge underground cave, and all these souls in all their torture, suffering in the flames and screaming such ugly screams from shore to shore, but he couldn't see the distance of the shore. He describes demons being chained to the walls, waiting for the final day when God shall unlock them and let them have one last leash before judgment day. He describes the whole chapter then, what he sees above the flames, that there's like a chimney up the roof of that hell existence. And then he describes in the book how he senses the power of God, by God's mercy, reaching down through that huge chimney in the wall, in the hole in the ceiling of that hellish place, and taking hold of him invisibly, pulling him up out, even as he's seeing more souls drop in. And 23 minutes later, his young wife walks into the living room and sees him laying on the floor of his living room, screaming in terror, as God allowed his soul to be put back into his body. He said almost nothing to anybody for 3 months. Then finally he felt convinced he had a right, because the Lord wanted him to write this story to warn others that they'd not go to that awful place. Was Bill Wiese right? Was he wrong? Toss it aside. You don't have to believe that. It's only written by a man anyway. But Luke 16 was not written by a man. And Luke 16 comes right out of the mouth of the Lord. And the Lord says these words. What's the punchline? If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. You know what? Even in America, it seems as though human beings get immune to the Word of God. You notice that? People get immune to it. You and me too. Let's be honest. You can read the Word of God and not read it. You can skim over the verses and just skim over them, and what did you retain? You can read them verses like a chapter like this, verse 1 to 31. Did it sink in? So too in the world, people can read and not read. Apparently, Abraham knew that this man had Moses and the prophets. Does that mean he had the synagogue right nearby? Yeah. Does it mean he could read and write? We don't know that. It says there that his brothers also had Moses and the prophets. So then the brothers also should have been converted, right? What is Moses? Well, that's New Testament shorthand for first 5 books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And then the prophets, what do you have? Starting with Joshua already, you have these men of God that pop up. Many of them pop up with no name. They're like the speaking prophets. And then you get a whole bunch of the historical prophets. Fantastic prophets like Elijah and Elisha and Micaiah. Beautiful. All written there. 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. And then you get to writing prophets, starting with Isaiah, going all the way to Malachi. And Jesus says, as Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets. If they won't accept the Old Testament for all it is worth, they won't even believe if someone rises from the dead. Well, you put it together and then you look at your modern world. The whole modern world has Moses and the prophets, right? So Genesis chapter 1 says that God created the heavens and the earth, the galaxies and the stars of space. He spoke and it came to be. Well, if a black hole can take a star and instantaneously snuff it out, then why could not the Word of God speak and the star is instantaneously ignited? But all around your world, there are people, unbelievers, who are blind as angleworms on the sidewalk and they cannot see it. Genesis chapter 6 talks about this huge flood coming along and wiping out all planets, all animal life prior to the flood. The atheists, the geologists, the archaeologists look all around the world and every place again and again they see all these different fossil bones from all these different animals and all these different animals, even enemies of each other, and they all end up in one fossil pit all at the same time. And when you study what they read, they say again and again and again, there happened to be a whirlpool at the bottom of a river. There happened to be a flood. There happened to be a whirlpool here. There happened to be a river that took them down there. There happened to be a sinkhole there. And none of them can see that God has given a flood. And explains it all. Exodus, Ten Commandments. And you have people up and down America who will not say, you must not believe in the Ten Commandments. That's going to get you into trouble. Isaiah. Speaking about the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Can't see it. Daniel. Speaking about the Son of God coming on the clouds of heaven. Can't see it. Hosea. Speaking about the love of a heavenly father for his wayward wife. Calling her back again and again. Can't see it. Zechariah. Speaking about the robe of the righteousness of Christ, they can't see it. Malachi, speaking about the Christ who's going to be the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap and clean everybody up, can't see it. And the Lord says, if they won't accept Moses and the prophets, oh, but add to that, you not only have Old Testament, you also got New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's all there. Plus Acts and the apostles and all of the book of Revelation. It's all there. And God says, if you won't believe this, you'll believe nothing. It is the witness of the Word of God. What about the witness of miracles, though? Right? Now that's impressive stuff. If a young man gets an eye for a certain young gal, and if he's trying to work up the nerve to ask her out on a date, yes, I'm old enough to be a grandpa, but I can still remember that nervous stage. You gals, you have no idea how much nerve it takes for a young man to work up the courage to pop a question like that. You have no clue. Whew. Anyway, he's working up the courage to ask this gal, and he might even do a clean shave, some aftershave, but maybe in today's world, a 4 or 5 or 6 day beard is more charming, right, guys? But finally, when he thinks the moment is just right, and he thinks his opportune instant has arrived and she might be in the best mood to pop the question as nonchalantly and as coolly as he thinks he can muster the fake. Oh, what do you happen to be doing Friday night? Point is, sometimes you and I think of our unbelieving neighbors and family members and we think, if like that young man, we can just work up the courage and say the right words. If we can make the right appeal and put the right shine on it, maybe. And you think, well, maybe if I can just quote the right verse of scripture to my unconverted family member, maybe they'll be converted then. Or you think, maybe if I memorize a certain argument and place it in order in front of them just exactly, then maybe they will respond. What do you think? Maybe if I could preach like Peter. Or maybe if I could pray like Paul. Or maybe if I could raise a lame man who's been lame and laying at the temple, and maybe I could do a miracle. Then they will believe. Or maybe if, like Apostle Paul, I shake a poisonous snake off my arm and throw it into the fire, then they will be converted. And God's word says, stop all your maybe ifs. For the answer is right here in the text. If they will not be convinced or converted by reading Moses and the prophets and listening to them, they won't be convinced or converted if someone is raised from the dead. What happened a couple days after this? Jesus went to Lazarus, to Bethany. Who lives in Bethany? Lazarus, the man he raised from the dead. Different Lazarus. For John chapter 11 tells you, Jesus walked out to the cemetery 4 days after Lazarus died. He commanded that tomb door be opened, though his sisters objected because they were worried about the stench. When the tomb door is opened, Jesus simply declares with all his heavenly authority, Lazarus, come forth. Or a minute or two later, I think it probably took him that long to get to the door, here comes this man bound in grave clothes, head and foot, shuffling out. And Jesus has to tell the shocked observers, take the clothes off of him, set him free. Did they believe? No, they tried to put Lazarus to death. A few weeks later, Jesus himself is raised from the dead on Easter morning. Huge earthquake, tomb doors blasted out of its track. Did they believe? No, the Pharisees and the chief priests bribed the guards to say that those lowly fishermen did a thievery job. If people will not believe the word of God, then they will not believe the stars of the galaxies. If they will not believe the word of God, then they will not believe the book of creation all around them. If they will not believe the word of God, they will not believe unless God by His Spirit softens their heart and opens them up. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And pray that the Lord by His mighty Holy Spirit might pour out His power upon your loved ones and all of those unbelievers around you as He has done for you. For the Word of God is still the Word of God. And the power of God is still the power of God. And all salvation and spiritual life comes from Him and Him alone who can give life. Let us pray. Lord, our Lord, we see so much unbelief around us, but truth be told, unless You had opened our hearts, unless You had touched our lives, unless You had given us the grace to read Your word, we would not have believed either. But now, Lord, we humbly pray that You would equip Your church, equip our witness, equip Your people around the world, and let Your power be unleashed while there is yet time. And Lord, give us also that faith that sees beyond the telescopes. Give us also that faith that's anchored in Your word.
Give us also that assurance that though heaven and earth shall pass away, your word cannot be broken. Give us, O Lord, hearts that love you through and through until you open the skies and sweep us up into your heavenly arms someday. In Christ's name, amen.